everyone for everything. It's been a blessing. There's just a tremendous blessing, all the gift basket and things. I think my wife was the most excited about the tote that it was all in. There's when you live our life, you know, totes are a very important thing. So there's but it is, thank you. It's you know, I always appreciate the church here and just the hospitality and everything, and it's been a blessing to get to know more of you this time. So, but I would, I'm going to have you turn a couple places, but I want you to turn to 1 Peter 4:2. I want to show you something here real quick. 1 Peter 4:2, we've got, this is my life verse that the Lord changed when he called me. This is the verse that he gave me when he called me now over 6 years ago to sell everything and to go on the road and just start this journey. And the Bible says in chapter 4 of 1 Peter in verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. If you want a good life, you need to be in the will of God. That's all there is to it. I've struggled in my life. I've different times, and it was always because I was out of God's will. But that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. It's so easy, and that's what our flesh wants, but to the will of God. I just wanted to share that with you, and you know, there's a little bit more about us as far as that goes. But if you would turn now to Matthew chapter 9. And also grab Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, and Matthew chapter 9 and verse 38. Let's read Matthew chapter 9. And let's look in verse 36. The Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers, or the true laborers, are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he'll send forth laborers into his harvest. Move with compassion. You're not going to do anything if you're not moved with compassion. If you don't have compassion, if you can't sit in a parking lot and watch people come in and out, or walk through a store and think about that they're lost, that many of those are lost. Probably even said, and only God knows, most of them are lost. Right. Look with me in Luke chapter 10. In verse 2, therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now I want to look you to look at this. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves. He knew what he was saying. He knows what we're up against. He was here too. He had it worse than we did. Carry neither purse nor scrip. We need to remember that. Nor shoes. And salute no man by the way. Get busy about his business. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this day. Father, another day you've given me to serve you. Father, I thank you for this church. Father, the time, but Father, the harvest is plenteous. Father, we don't even realize how much, truly. Father, help us to have compassion for souls, for other people. Father, help us to not be in our natural state, our natural way of being selfish. Father, please meet with us. Father, fill me with your power. Father, fill Brother Donnelly. Father, fill Brother Tongney tonight. Father, this is the time, that the last day of this missions conference. Father, I pray you do a great work. And Father, I do pray for laborers, true laborers. Father, have a desire to be used of you. Father, and that's what their main focus is, not everything around them. Father, and I know we struggle with that. We are in the flesh. We live in a sinful world. Father, help us, please. Bind Satan by the blood of Jesus. We ask all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You know, natural human nature is to be comfortable. If we didn't have these padded chairs and we had the old wooden pews, how many people wouldn't even come sit on them anymore? I mean, think about it. I'm not going to do this this morning. I've done this before when the Lord led. Because, you know, we talk about not having a script. We need to follow the Holy Spirit and be in tune to the Holy Spirit more and let Him lead us. Then some true work will get done. But, you know, the natural human nature is to be comfortable. I've done before. I've had the whole church switch sides. You know, we won't do that this morning for the sake of time, but you know, we do. How many of you sit in the same place? I even sit in the same place, and I'm not even a member here. You know, it's our natural human nature, right? I mean, I think we've sat in that place since we came here 2 years ago. Even Americans, think about how comfortable we are. Think about what we heard the men yesterday from Brother Thongdi and all the things. And wow, what an amazing! We need to remember those things. You know, we don't even realize, you know, how good we have it. But have you ever thought about this? That nothing great is done when somebody is comfortable. Think about it. Brother Hank, how many of you were in the military? Raise your hand. Some sort. I know there's many of you. There was very little about the military, especially when things were really getting done or being trained, that was comfortable, was it? Why do we have the most powerful nation and the most feared military? Because we're forced not to be comfortable. So that something can get done. You know, I fear. You know, that our churches in America has gotten comfortable. And that's a bad thing. It really is. You know, there's... Maybe we do need wood pews and not padded chairs, or, you know, maybe just need wood chairs. It doesn't really matter. But, you know, sometimes we think about that. And, you know, I said the other day about if we didn't have air conditioning, if we didn't have, you know, if we didn't keep it nice and warm or what have you. But Think about the army. Think about human growth. I mean, the teenagers in here, and we've all been a teenager. Some of it's just been longer than others. And I tell teenagers when I preach to them, to kind of break the ice, I said, you know, I used to be a teenager once. And they're like, yeah, we've heard this a million times. And I said, but you know what? I used to have hair once too. And they're like, half of them are like, can we laugh? And the other ones laugh. And I said, it's okay to laugh. I'm good with it. God made me this way. And I'm fine with that. And you need to be okay with the way God made you too. You know, but there's human growth in many ways. My teenagers, they come and my boys, my two oldest boys, they're like, oh, Dad, I heard I'm getting old. I'm like, you're getting old, but it's not old like that. You're growing and it's painful. It's not comfortable. You know, so to grow up, to even, it's we're not comfortable. You know, you think about, I went hiking with my dad and the boys with his neighbor and things the other day, about 8.5 miles. My calves still hurt. We're at the highest point above Coeur d'Alene in the mountains, and they do. I'm not comfortable. I wasn't comfortable, and I'm still not comfortable. But, you know, we think about work promotions and different things. We think about those type of things. We want so much to move to the next level. And you know, there's when I was in the business world, you have somebody, they do a great job. They call it being promoted to the highest, to their highest incompetence. They do a great job at this job, but when they go to the next place, it's above really what they can do. And they struggle with it. You know, but those work promotions, we get into something, you know, think about a day to day and how we do this and we do that and we do this. And, you know, think about this morning. Did you do anything different than you normally do on a Sunday morning? No, we're creatures of habit, right? We're comfortable. Think about when the pastor, I mean, I talk to pastors all over the country how many church splits have happened over a pastor just doing what God wants him to do? Maybe to get the church a little bit mixed up and uncomfortable. And they're like, no, we're not going to do it. You're not going to change it. We're leaving. I mean, that's the truth. I mean, Brother Donnelly sees it. I mean, but these things in all these churches. And think about this. What if God really wants to grow you, what does he do? Get you uncomfortable. How does he do that? Through trials. Through trials. He gets you out of your comfort zone. I want to challenge you this morning, if you take notes, the title of this message is Get Out of Your Comfort Zone. We need to get out of our comfort zone. You know, I need to get out of my comfort zone. I ask God, if I'm comfortable. My wife, I'm thankful for a wife that loves the Lord. Amen. Because there's a lot of men that they don't do what God would have them to do in the ministry because their wife. Now, a lot of men don't do what God would have them to do because of them, too. But you know, a lot of things in being not comfortable and God trials and proving us. You know, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Why are we unwilling to, you know, we can love God and God wants us to do something. God wants us to give. God wants us, there are some people here today that God, I know in this group, I know how God works. I know how God's worked on me, that God has asked you to give something financially or do something that you're scared to death of. I know it. I just the Holy Spirit's told me that. And literally, you're like, what? How? I can't do that. It's because you're comfortable. It's going to get you out of your comfort zone. It's going to, whether it be financially, I can't afford that. I know, but now God can work. We just have to do, and that's what we prayed this morning before service, and that literally, why can't we, you know, come to church a half hour early to pray, or why can't we do this or do that? Because, You know, we don't want to get out of our comfort zone. Look, I don't like to get out of bed some days either. You know, but we need to, at the end of the day, we need to smite our flesh. We need to, this flesh. I'm looking forward to the day that I'm going to be in heaven and I'm not going to have to deal with this flesh anymore. I really do. I mean, or do you like it that much? No, seriously. But look at this. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy path. But I want you to look at verse 7 here and listen to this. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You're not going to get out of your comfort zone unless you trust God. And most times God's getting you out of your comfort zone so you'll trust him more. God, give us grace. And I pray this, God, give me grace to trust you more. I want to trust God more. But this flesh doesn't want to trust him more. This flesh doesn't want to get out of its comfort zone. This flesh doesn't want to do that. I want to stay doing the same thing. You know, Jesus was never comfortable while he walked when he was on this earth. Think about it. Was he? He didn't have a place to lay his head. You know, I'm not saying it's bad to have a house, but we need to continue to allow God to get us out of our comfort zone. We need to follow the Holy Spirit. In America, that's what's wrong. I've really prayed and prayed and prayed. It's like, Lord, what is the problem here? Jesus wasn't comfortable. People mocked him. They all thought he was different. Think about this for a second. Think about, you know, we hear these people and the ones that have been around for a while and things and all of the men and things. Well, you know, if I change this or if I don't, you know, do this, what is man going to think? How many times, if we're honest, you know, where you think about I should do or shouldn't do something, you think, well, what's so-and-so going to think? Or what are they going to think? You think about Jesus when he walked on this earth. He was contrary to the Pharisees. He was doing all kinds of things contrary to what they believed. They didn't like him. Why do you think they were trying to kill him? They wanted to kill him a whole lot sooner than they did. You know, obviously we know that that was supposed to happen. It was to fulfill prophecy. But Jesus was never comfortable. We think about, we could go over all the examples, and he was not comfortable, you know, when he was there's from the very beginning to the very end, and it just got worse and worse and worse because more people mocked him. Even his own disciples didn't get it. Us as men of God, and you know, we can get discouraged when we believe lies from the devil. Why don't they get it? But if we'll look at it and see, you know what? Sometimes if they got it and if everybody, not everybody, not even the disciples got it the way Jesus wanted them to. Think about that. And we go, for the sake of time, we're not going to, but think about, you know, I talked about the other night about in John 21:3, the Bible says, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. Why would he go back to fishing? Besides, I said the other night, a lack of faith, but it was lack of faith, but he was comfortable with fishing. He wasn't comfortable with doing what Jesus has asked him to do. Look, I've never been comfortable with what God's asked me to do. I told you the other night, it was 11, 12 years ago, I was not even comfortable standing behind a pulpit to pray in front of people, let alone preaching. I'm just being honest with you. But you got to let him. You have to trust him. You have to let him grow you and do. Look, he doesn't give us grace for what is down the road. He gives me grace for what I need right now. But we have to trust him and we have to realize that. God, give me grace to trust you more, because he knows our flesh is not that way. It's not naturally, even once we're saved. You know, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we love God, if we want to do something for him. But look at this. You know, it'd be easy. I can't even count the number of times that God has had to help me, because the devil's like, you just need to go back. They don't care. Even the pastors don't want it. It'd be easy for me to go back. I could make a couple phone calls. You know, they're honestly to go back to the past. Not that it was even a wicked, you know, going back into sin or anything. Just like Peter, that's why I relate so much. In many times I've had that thought over and over and over and over. You know, well, maybe I should. But I know God doesn't want me to. To what I know, to what I'm comfortable with. You know, there's, but I know that this is true. I believe it with all of my heart. I love God. I believe that this is the perfect word of God, and this is what we're to live by. This is what he left us. I know what he's called me to do. I know that he's called me, you know, not to live to the lust of men, but only to the will of God. And I know that he's asked me to serve him with my whole heart and my whole life. Now that changes. He adds things to it. He's asked me to do a big feat next year, and I'm just trusting him. I am, and I appreciate your prayers that you would continue to do that, because on my own, in my own power, it's not going to happen. But you see, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I don't want to deceive myself. I want to trust this. But see, the reason we deceive ourselves and we are just a hearer of the word, that we don't do it and we don't change, is because that change means that we have to be uncomfortable. Why don't we come to an altar when many times we should? It's uncomfortable. It's to humble ourselves. The Bible says that we must, I don't believe that it's a actual, that God made a mistake when he put in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people, we're talking about Christians, will humble themselves. We struggle with that in our flesh, to humble ourselves. People are looking for, if you can't be that way or have a desire to be that way, it's not going to come out that way. They're going to see a hypocrite. They can sniff it out. They've seen it too often. That's why I've heard over and over and over and over and over again that they say, look, we don't want religion. They're just a bunch of hypocrites. And I'm saying, I'm one too. I don't want to be. I want to be real. We have to show them real. We can't just be another salesman to them. They're inundated with that all over. Think about it. The whole world is wanting something from them. Why don't we be like Jesus and give them something instead of act like we want something from them? And then you might be amazed what God can do with that. The doors that God would open for that. I mean, just think about that, but that means getting out of your comfort zone. Why haven't you handed out a tract? Why haven't you told somebody about Jesus? Why don't I always? Because it means getting out of my comfort zone. It means, well, I've got stuff to do. It's important. Really? How important? And look, I'm preaching myself. I'm not a patient person. I've learned to be patient with God sometimes. You ask my family, I am not patient. I'm wide open. And honestly, we just need to get out of our comfort zone. We need to be willing to let God get us out of our comfort zone, but we have to trust him. It's not going to happen without trusting him. But look at this. I want to show you here. Look in Hebrews chapter 11. I While you're turning to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, I want to show you about Moses and how he got out of his comfort zone. And then we'll be done. Because I could go on and on and on and on. The whole thing about this is that we just need to get out of our comfort zone. Do God, what God wants us to do when he wants us. We have to have a desire. Say, Lord, get me out of my comfort zone. You ever prayed to be closer to the Lord? Do you realize what you're praying for? Do you realize you're asking God for trials? And still we'll pray for that? It'll help you. It really will. Because you're asking God, saying, God, Lord, get me out of my comfort zone so that you can work. It comes from really realizing who we are and who he is. And who we are through him, or can be, if we allow him. That's what the church needs today. That's what we all need. We are the church. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, Moses, think about all the men in the Bible. Moses was mostly always out of his comfort zone. David was mostly always out of his comfort zone. Now some of it he brought upon himself. But Moses was mostly always out of his comfort zone. Paul was out of his comfort zone. Hebrews 11, 23 says, by faith, not in his own power, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. His parents had faith because they saw he was a proper child and they were not, look at this, they were not afraid of the king's commandments. Fears from the devils, folks, not from God. Look at this in verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, when he had grown up, he refused, says, I will not be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. You realize what he's saying? He says, I won't be called, you know, the son of the most powerful man in the world. I won't be. He could have had it easy. He could have had it easy. He could have had it very comfortable. But he says, I refuse, I will not. We need some men to be men and stand up and say, I will not. I will not follow after this world. I will not follow after man. I'm only going to follow after God. That's what's going to change things. But it's going to take revival on an individual basis to do that and to stand up, and it's going to take faith. And look at this. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's your choice. To trust and obey your God. It's going to be your choice today to be obedient to God in what you pledge for faith promise. It's going to be your choice to be obedient to God for surrendering to him. It's going to be your choice to be obedient to God, to surrender to him and do what he wants you to do. What's he asking you to do? Or do you have a desire and say, Lord, I want to do more for you. Show me what that would be, because I love you and I want to show me what's in my life that really doesn't matter. Hebrews, look in verse 25 as we continue down. It's a choice to trust and obey your God. He says, Moses choosing, he chose rather to suffer affliction. Affliction's not comfortable. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, and he chose rather to suffer affliction. Not to be comfortable with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming, in verse 26, or putting higher above the reproach of Christ. He goes, look, I would rather have the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt or the world. Not comfortable. Has God done anything with anybody that was comfortable? He chose to suffer affliction. Isn't that what Jesus did? Jesus chose. He came to this earth for one reason, to die for you and for me. He chose that. He came out of heaven. You want to talk about comfortable? I can't even imagine that comfort. I'm looking forward to it, to being with him. To be, not have to worry about this flesh. But at the end of the day, it's esteeming or holding higher the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures in Egypt or this world. We just don't do that. Very few. For he had respect unto the recompense or reward. He looked. He saw beyond. He could see the reward. He looked and put more trust and faith in laying treasures up in heaven in that for eternity, what was moving forward, than what was today. That's contrary to our culture in America today, right? It is. It's completely contrary to that. But it's in the church too. You know, we think we have to have all this stuff. We think we deserve all this stuff. You know, if we walk into a church that didn't have some of the same comforts, you know, there's many churches I go to, these church plants in these small churches in these small towns, especially in the West. They may not have a sound system. They may not have padded chairs or pews. In on and on and on and on. They may not have air conditioning. You know why they struggle to get people to come? People are comfortable. They won't go there. Now, if the Holy Spirit of God's there, and I've seen some churches like that, there's a little church in the town I went to elementary school in. Faithful man of God, nobody knows him. In the Spirit of God, they have. You saw in our video, if you was there, there was old wooden pews with the old hymnals that was in that church. Old wood floors. Sound system barely works. But boy, God is there. You know, when I go to Ohio, every once in a while I just go there. I don't tell the pastor because he'll want me to preach if I tell him I'm coming. And I said, brother, I just need to hear from the Lord. Wednesday night, he'll pray after the service. And 3/4 of the time, we'll end up weeping in prayer because God's there. It's what we've lost because we've gotten so comfortable with church. Because Americans just like to be comfortable. We're going to get out of our comfort zone. Think about it. In verse 27, it says, by faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. He trusted God. It's by God. He could see the invisible. Look at that in verse 28, through faith. Moses kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land. Think about that, which the Egyptians astrayed to do were drowned. because he got out of his comfort zone. He was willing to be used of God. He was willing to think about that. If somebody told you to build an ark and it never rained for 100 years like Noah did, you talk about getting out of your comfort zone. Or told you to stand up to the most powerful man in your country and take your people out, not knowing how he's going to do it, not understanding it. In doing what, when, and how he said. But it's not comfortable. It never is. How many times, men that we were in the military, did one of our leaders tell us to do something that was, we're like, whoa, it's not comfortable. But it was something that needed to be done. Why will we do it? For man? Why did we do it for our country and the military, but we won't do it for something much greater importance of our God that's much more powerful than America or some president or some people or whatever? We won't get out of our comfort zone for that. What's your choice today? Be comfortable or trust God? Whatever that will be, whatever that is that the Lord's working on you, I don't know, he does, you do. If you be honest, you quit shrugging it off. And that's not just for the adults, that's for the young people too. I see so many preacher boys. I see so many young ladies that I know they love the Lord. But they see this world of comfort and they choose that world of comfort over doing what God wants. But you see, once we choose God and we continue to do that, it is comfortable because he gives us the desires of our heart. If we want his will and he does that, you know what? It's amazing how comfortable it is. You know, it took me a while to go from a 4,000 square foot house to a, you know, what, 300-400 square foot trailer. But I'm comfortable in that. My wife's going to throw something at me. You can't see her face right now, but there. No, I follow the Lord. It's not about being comfortable or not comfortable. It's about doing what God wants, when he wants, how he wants. It's what it comes down to it. What's your choice today? I'm very thankful. Very thankful. Not as much as I should be, to be honest with you. Jesus was willing to get out of his comfort zone. Think about that. Jesus was willing to come out of heaven. He chose to come out of heaven for you and for I. We say thank you, and we should. But do we show him how thankful we are, willing to get out of our comfort zone a little bit compared to what he did? And tell others. The laborers are few. The harvest, there's all to do. I have people in the ministry. I have young people. I have older people say, asking, oh, what can we do? I've got churches that want to help and different things. A missions conference in Ohio that I'm going to, they want to help with a church plant. We need more churches. There's all to do. But wake up. We have to be willing to get out of our comfort zone. Change. Do something different. Ask God what he has from you. What he has for you. How he wants you to change. Because it's so hard to do in ourselves. It's hard for me to do too. And the older we are, the harder it is. It's your choice today. Be comfortable or trust God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for getting me out of my comfort zone. Father, I know it was my choice that I had to trust and obey you. But Father, I pray that you would continue to get me out of my comfort zone, not allow me to get comfortable. Father, that I would continue to do what you want, when you want, how you want. Father, that you would just work in our hearts. Father, I pray that you would do a great work and do what only you can do. Father, I ask that you would, as you've asked us, you've told us to pray for laborers. Father, I pray, I beg of you, Lord, please send laborers. I pray, Father, do what you have to do to get some people out of their comfort zone, that they would choose to serve you, to do whatever, whether that be full-time, whether that be, and I'm not even full-time, just do what you want when you want it. Father, give what, however, whether that be monetary, whether that be of their time. Father, help us, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just get the church, your church that you died for, out of its comfort zone. Please, Father. We love you. I pray that, Father, you'll meet with us throughout this day. Father, meet with us in an amazing way that we can only say, wow, we've met with God. Please, Lord. We ask all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.